Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
This month, we've been looking at the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, and because we missed a service last week, just to update you again on what's taking place. You'll remember Joseph as a young man had a very privileged existence. He was brought up in a very chaotic household, lots of sibling rivalry going on, and he was sort of a tattletale and not a very nice guy. And then around age 13, his brothers have had enough, and they beat him up, and they give him over to some traveling salesmen on their way to Egypt, and he is sold into slavery. Of course, cream rises to the top, and in slavery, we see a bit of change in his character. There's some good things that start appearing, and he rises to the top of his master's household. He's in charge of everything, but he's also a very handsome guy. He's a Jewish Adonis and catches all the women's eyes. They just melt in their shoes when they see him. And he gets the eye of his master's wife, and he turns her down, and she accuses him of misconduct. He's falsely charged, but he's thrown into prison for 13 years, if you can imagine that, for a young man. And there he interprets somebody's dream, one of the court officials' dream. And finally, he's brought out of prison to interpret a dream that the Pharaoh has. And this is where our reading takes place now, where the dream is about 7 ears of corn, good ears of corn, nice ones, that are taken over by 7 sort of diseased, sickly-looking ears of corn. And 7 sleek cows, nice-looking cows, healthy cows, that are swallowed up by 7, again, sickly, very poor-looking cows. And this is the interpretation Joseph gives. Let Pharaoh now look for a man of vision and wisdom and put him in charge of the country. Pharaoh should take steps to appoint commissioners over the land to take 1/5 of the produce of Egypt during the 7 years of plenty. They should collect all the food produced in the good years that are coming and put the grain under Pharaoh's control as a store of food to be kept in the towns. In other words, 7 good years are coming, 7 lean years are coming. Prepare. The food will be a reserve for the country against the 7 years of famine which will come to Egypt. And so the country will not be devastated by the famine. The plan commended itself to both the Pharaoh and all his officials, and the Pharaoh asked him, "Could I find another man like this? So, one endowed, so with wisdom and the Spirit of God. Can we find anybody else like this?" And to Joseph, Pharaoh said, "Since God has made all this known to you, no one has your vision and wisdom. You shall be in charge of my household, and all my people will respect your every word. Only in regard to the throne shall I rank higher than you." At the age of 30, he is the second in command in Egypt. And Pharaoh went on, "I give you authority over the whole land of Egypt." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Leaders are needed in every walk of life, whether it's in church or at home or in the community or in business or school or the hospital, wherever we may find ourselves. Time magazine had an article where it said, you know, the nation cries out for leadership. And the New York Times also had a piece where it was saying, you know, people are yearning for leadership. And I think if you look at Amazon.com and put in leadership, you'll find more books there than a person could read in one lifetime. It's kind of a slippery term. You know, what is a leader? You can look at a person and say, yeah, that guy or that woman has leadership qualities. But if someone were to ask you to define leadership, you'd find it very hard. The Jewish people looked for certain qualities in their leaders. And the story of Joseph was one part of the curriculum in the royal schools in Jerusalem as they were preparing their younger people for future leadership in the country. And last week we saw two qualities. I guess it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Two qualities that they were looking for that is present in this account, and that is faith and integrity. Joseph has both. And today we look at further qualities that this young man had, and also at their relevance for our lives today. Because I think we'll find that wherever we are in life, there's a call for us to be a leader in some form or some fashion. All right, what are the qualities that we see in Joseph today? I think one, and this is something that was very important in the Jewish schools, one is resilience, courage. The ability to bounce back when you've been hit hard. I think, you know, if you look at his life, and just imagine yourself as a young person, 13 years old, being sold into slavery. His life is like a roller coaster. It's up and down. He, you know, how scary that would be. Think of what it's like to rise up then. You're holding a responsible position in your master's house. And then you're charged falsely of misconduct and you're thrown into prison for 13 years. Nothing to look forward to. And you're innocent. For some reason, somehow, this young guy can take it on the chin and still remain standing. There's an account that I find very meaningful myself, and this involves a mother and her young daughter who are out walking in the woods. And the young daughter had been reading a story in the book that talked about courage. And she said to her mother as they were walking along in the woods, you know, what is courage? Is it when Minnie puts back her ears and sort of spits at a dog 10 times her size? Is that what it is? And the mother said, well, sort of. That's it in part. But there's much more involved. And then they came to a part of the woods as they went on where there had been a fire and everything was blackened, ash, stubble, destruction. And there in the midst of the blackness, there was a yellow buttercup pushing up out of the ash. And the mother said, there. That's what courage is. You see that? Joseph was that buttercup rising up out of the blackened ashes. Think of, what is it, Robin Robbins, the ABC person who's been struggling with cancer. Think of Malala, the Pakistani girl who was shot and is working for young girls' education in Pakistan. I saw an interview with her just recently. Think of our own first responders in Sandy Hook, in Boston, you know, going back in after there's been tragedy. Now, I'm sure that Joseph went through periods of despondency in that jail. I'm sure there were times when he couldn't find the hope. But the point is, he didn't stay there. He came out of it. And when Patty and I were in Ohio, Woody Hayes was the big guy in football and everything out there. And at one point at the Ohio University, he gave a speech and he said to the people there, he said, the one thing you must not do is feel sorry for yourself. The one thing you must not do is feel sorry for yourself. He said that only leads to drugs and alcohol and things that'll just tear you apart. In football, we always knew we could beat the other team. But the danger was that we could defeat ourselves. We could beat ourselves. And this applies to people, he said. This applies to everyone. Don't beat yourself. Don't let yourself be beaten by in here. Something about Joseph. He, you know, rises and falls. He's in prison now. There's a government official there, somebody from Pharaoh's court, who has a dream. And Joseph interprets the dream for him and says, you're going to go back to the court. You're going to be released. And when you go back, tell the Pharaoh about my case. Tell him I'm innocent. And it happens. The guy's released, goes back to Pharaoh's court. And of course, what he does, he forgets all about Joseph. Joseph's in prison for 2 years after this. But somehow, this is a man who's resilient. He's that yellow buttercup rising out of the blackness, the ashes of disappointment and despair. He's a guy who takes it on the chin, but doesn't fall down. He keeps on. Resilience, the ability to take it and not be defeated, but to continue on. That's what Israel looked for in its future leaders. And it's something you and I, we all need. There's another quality here with Joseph, and that is he's a visionary leader. He's someone who can anticipate or sense what may be coming and act to prepare for it. Dreams were very important in Egypt. We found all kinds of encyclopedias of dream interpretation. Pharaoh had all kinds of specialists, and their job was just to interpret dreams. Very important in this culture. And he has this dream now of 7 ears of corn, really nice ones, full. And they're taken over by seven diseased sort of sickly looking pieces of corn. And then there's seven sleek, good looking cows, and they're taken over by seven sickly, diseased cows. And none of Pharaoh's advisors, none of his dream interpreters can figure this out. What's going on? Then the official remembers Joseph. And he says to Pharaoh, there was this guy in prison who was very good at interpreting dreams. And so they get Joseph out of prison. They wash him up and bring him into the Pharaoh's presence. And he says to the Pharaoh, this is the meaning of the dream. God has shown you what is going to take place. There will be 7 good years, 7 years of prosperity in the land. And following that, there will be 7 years, 7 lean years, times when there will be famine. This is the way you prepare for that. You set up granaries throughout the country. You gather food during the good years so that there will be food available during the 7 years of famine. And set up a distribution system now. And as it happens, Pharaoh says, you know, this guy's smart. He's got vision. What do you think about making him the guy in charge of all this? And so at age 30, coming out of 13 years of prison, he has the second highest position in the land. Only the Pharaoh is higher. Again, this Joseph is a visionary leader. He's someone who can look ahead and have a sense of what's coming down. And also what to do about it. He's not just a thinker, you know, I'm off in my dreams. He's somebody who can do something about it. And that's needed today. People who have vision. There's an account of Disney World. And a guide who was taking around a group of tourists. And they were seeing, you know, the castle and all this stuff. And one of the tourists said, gosh, it's a shame that Disney didn't live to see all of this. And the guide said, but he did. In his mind's eye, in his mind's eye, in his imagination, he saw all of this. And that's why we are here today. Have you ever found you have a sense that there's a window of opportunity? The window may be closing, but it's time to act now before it closes. I forget which hockey player it was, but it was one of these guys who was right on the top of his game. He always got that puck in the net. And he explained himself when a reporter asked, you know, how he did it. He said, I try to anticipate where the puck is going rather than where it's been. Joseph had that ability to keep his eye on where he anticipated the puck would be going. He had that ability to sense that this was a moment of opportunity now. If you act, you can help things in the future. If you don't act, that window is going to close. A visionary leader. Do you sense that in yourself at all? Now, there were, you know, certainly there were times in this man's life when he didn't foresee what was coming down the pike. You know, he didn't foresee that his brothers would beat him up and sell him into slavery. He didn't foresee his master's wife accusing him falsely and being thrown into prison. And that's true in life. There's a lot of stuff we just can't see. Things come out of the blue. But at the same time, there are also areas of life that we can anticipate what's coming. And we can act to make a difference. Isn't that true? There are areas in life where we can act to prepare for what's coming. I think, you know, Joseph was 30. A lot of us here today, including myself, are way beyond 30. But we have time left. And I think it's good to think about what God may be calling us to do in the time that we do have. What role of leadership in the church, in the home, in the community, at work? What is God calling us to do? What vision is God giving us and asking us to follow? What do you think? When Israel trained its people for future leadership, it looked for qualities. And two of those qualities were resilience, but also vision. The ability to see when the time was to act and when not. And again, I think Joseph is amazing because he has the vision, but he also gets his hands dirty. He's got tremendous organizational powers to get all those granaries in order, to get distribution systems worked out before the seven lean come. And I've heard many stories about people who are, you know, thinkers, but they don't get their hands dirty. Joseph does both. And that's his challenge to us as we look at ourselves and our own lives. What is God calling us to do? What role of leadership? To be continued next week. Thank you.